Keith Walsh, Roy Vistach, hello and welcome to the Lock In podcast. It's the weekly show about how we live now. You can find out more at thelockin.ie. My name's Conor Muinichon and I work for Black Knight. We're the web hosting company based in Carlow, Ireland. On the show today, I'm on a Zoom call with my guest, Rory Brown. Rory, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks, Con.
Great to have you. Rory, you're one of the founders of Great Northern Larder, and we've got you on the show today to talk about a new venture, an Indiegogo campaign that you guys are running for a barbecue joint in Ireland, which is going to bring proper barbecue culture to Ireland. I'm going to ask you all about that in a minute. But first of all, give us the story so far, if you don't mind. What is Great Northern Larder and how did you come to be?
Okay, Great Northern Larder is about 3 years old now. It's mostly a sauce company, sauce and condiments. We have a range of 11 sauces at the moment, three barbecue sauces, three chili sauces, and a couple of other random hangers-on. Of course, the ubiquitous tomato sauce, you have to have that. I'm a software developer by trade, that's my background, and Laura, my other half, is a pharmacist. But we both just fancied a change of career. And we both love our food, and we both love the food industry in Ireland, and we both love what's going on around, especially around locally here in Louth and Mead. So we decided to start a food business. The name probably came before the idea of what we'd make. So Great Northern Larder just gave us a kind of an opening to just be a general food business. Mm-hmm. But I always love brown sauce. I just have an obsession with brown sauce, chef and HP. So I said, I want to make a brown sauce. And I did. I spent months coming up with a recipe for a brown sauce. And we then, Laura did the IBYE, Irish Young Business Entrepreneur, or something like that. She did a course, a kind of a competition. And we took the brown sauce along as the product, the innovative product that we wanted to promote and start a business with. We didn't win the competition, but we did very well in it. We got loads of mentoring, loads of advice. And we said, let's start this company. Let's get it going. We launched in Vantastival, a lovely little festival in Drogheda, about, I think it was 3 years ago now, 2017. And we just had a phenomenal weekend. People just kept coming up to the stall and buying sauce, then bringing it back to their camper van, using the whole bottle on their dinner, and coming back and buying more. And we just got such a good reception that we said, let's do it. Let's make this happen. And we're still at it.
How has lockdown impacted your business? I'm curious, Rory, because and I'm speaking from anecdotal experience in that people who know our CEO here at Black Knight, Michaela Nealon, will know that we've all had our lockdown projects, and his is barbecue, and he's been buying equipment and buying condiments and buying your products and buying other things and experimenting and trying things out. It's one of those situations where people have taken time and trouble to I suppose explore new interests or hobbies or develop them. Have you seen that have an impact on your business?
Absolutely. The growth in barbecue this summer, despite the bad weather. Mm. I know we got good weather at the start of lockdown, but it hasn't been a great summer. Mm. But the growth in barbecue has just been phenomenal. And Michele's been a very good customer of ours throughout the summer, and he's just all over the internet, so yes. It's really interesting. Yeah. Him developing as a barbecuer, he's just so passionate about it. People are buying proper real smokers. They're getting into their Weber kettles. Mm. They're smoking big joints of meat. We get emails almost daily saying, mm, where can I get an American style brisket, or where can I get St. Louis ribs, and yeah, all these terms that you never would have heard in Ireland a couple of years ago.
Now, that's what I want to talk to you about, Rory, because your new project is an Indiegogo fundraising project, because you guys are going to build a barbecue shack or a barbecue joint in the Cooley Peninsula. And your plan is you're saying that this is a first, this is something new for Ireland, because it's going to be a proper barbecue joint. You're on a mission to bring proper barbecue culture to Ireland. Now, Can you explain to me, first of all, Rory, what is proper barbecue culture, and what exactly are you talking about, and how does that differ from, let's say, the likes of myself on a Sunday afternoon firing up the barbecue and throwing a few steaks or burgers or something like that on it? What are we talking about here?
Okay. So I suppose proper is a little bit, it's proper to me, whatever you want to do is proper to you. But I suppose the American tradition, the Southern American tradition of barbecue is about big, traditionally cheap joints of meat, the kind of the tough parts of the beef and the tough parts of the pig. And they'd cook them very low and very slow. So in a very low heat, over 12, 13, even 24 hours, over wood. And what that does is the smoke and the low heat from the wood breaks down the fibers in the meat and breaks down the fat. And, you know, you end up with pulled pork or very soft, juicy pork brisket or kind of fall off the bones, ribs. But it's all about having the lid closed, having the heat low, having a small amount of nice white smoke. It's about patience. It's about cooking to temperature instead of time. You know, basically, if you go to Aldi or Lidl or Tesco and you pick up some kind of barbecue food, it'll always say cook in the oven and finish on the grill. Mm. And to me, that's just like, oh, no, because barbecue is all about take your time, get it right, let it cook really slowly on the barbecue over hours. And I'm not saying like we love throwing a steak on the grill and throwing a few sausages and burgers. It's still a great experience. But it's what maybe in America they'd call grilling as opposed to barbecue.
Okay.
Whereas barbecue is more about, you know, it's low and slow, essentially.
So it's about cooking slow. It's about cooking on a low heat. It's about using smoke. It's about taking your time. It's about patience. And then, as you point out on your Indiegogo page, Rory, it's about eating it when it's ready and not keeping it warm for a long period of time. When it's ready, it's ready.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if you think a piece of brisket, Irish cows tend to be quite a lot smaller than American cows. We could have a whole conversation about that, but that's a good thing. Grass-fed Irish cows are much more natural. They have a much better flavor, but it's a smaller piece of brisket. But even at that, it could be 5 or 6 kilograms. Mm. And when that is cooked depends on the wind, the outside temperature, the cow it came from, or whether it's a cow or a bullock, what age the cow was, how long it's been dried for, what way the butcher prepared it. There's so many factors. So when you put a brisket on at, say, 9 o'clock in the morning, you don't know if that brisket's going to be ready at 4 or 6 or 8 or 9 p.m. You have to cook it until it's ready. So what most barbecue restaurants do in Europe in general is they cook the brisket overnight and then they keep it in a warming oven, and then, which is okay, it's not bad, but it means by the time you eat the brisket, it's been out of the oven for 5 or 6 hours at least. Mm-hmm. And you can't beat the real flavor of brisket that's just, you have to let it rest, but basically fresh off the barbecue. And the way you do that and the way they do it in the whole South of America is to just have this attitude of, we're putting on the brisket at 4 a.m. When it's ready, it's ready. Mm. You'll get food when it's ready to be served. And when it's gone, it's gone. And that's it. There's no particular strict opening hours. There's no ordering in advance. You just turn up and you eat what's there and you enjoy it. And it's fresh and beautiful. And when they run out, they close the shutters. That's it.
It's interesting. I mean, you're talking about the virtue of patience, Rory. You're talking about anticipation. You're talking about waiting for something and hoping that it's ready. And if it's not, okay, we'll just wait another little while. You're talking not just the chef has to be patient, but the diners have to be patient as well.
They absolutely do.
So how does this work in practice, Rory? You're modelling this on a type of venue which already exists, as you've explained, in the United States. How do these places work?
The most famous example, if people wanted to do a Google search for it, is Franklin Barbecue. And it is very famous, and it's nearly a cliche to talk about it, but he's the most famous pitmaster for a reason, Aaron Franklin. And his barbecue shop, certainly before COVID, the way that works is they cook their brisket overnight, and around 11 a.m., give or take, they open the doors, and there are queues 2 miles long down the street, and you could be queuing from 5 or 6 a.m., so you're queuing for 5 or 6 hours for a piece of brisket. People come in, they buy. Another aspect of American barbecue is you buy by the pound or by the kilogram, as opposed to getting a ready-made meal with a few chips and sides. You buy as much meat as you want and choose your sides. And yeah, like that, Franklin Barbecue or any of these barbecue joints in Texas, they could be closed at lunchtime, they could be closed at 4, they might have a slow day, they might have a fast day. So you don't go for your lunch, you kind of go on your day off for a special occasion.
Okay. We're
going to change that a little bit.
Yeah.
We're going to bend a little bit towards Irish habits, in that we will probably try and aim to have the meat ready in the evening mm-hmm. after work. Mm-hmm. And we'll try and stagger the meats. I put some on at maybe 6 a.m., some at 7 a.m., some at 8 a.m. So we're trying to, you know, get a couple of hours at least in the evening yeah. where people can turn up and be guaranteed to get something to eat.
Right. It's slow food, of course, and it's the ultimate. It's treating food with a kind of reverence, really, isn't it, Rory? It's not just, I know in Ireland we expect to rock up to a place any hour of the day or night and get something to eat. That's not necessarily the right approach. Well, we're missing something.
Yeah, I think I think there's a certain type of food in Ireland that we're missing. That's probably the best way of putting it. It's not like Irish food. There's so much fantastic Irish food. Yeah. So many great restaurants. There's so many great chefs. I can't knock any of it. Yeah. Even the food in the supermarkets here is of a very high quality compared to most countries. So it's not that we're trying to. It's not that we're saying Irish food isn't good enough. We want to show you the best way of doing it. It's just that Irish food is missing that little bit of You know, we're really good at really good high quality steaks. We're really good at the best of sausages, the best of meat.
Yeah.
But just the rest of the animal as well, which just takes a little bit of patience, a little bit of finessing to get the best out of it. And the rewards are so worth it.
It's an experience is what you're offering. But I want to ask you, Rory, why now? And I assume, like lots of us, that you've had plans for something like this for a while and it's been on the long finger. We're in a time of great uncertainty. The hospitality industry, in fact, in Ireland is really been rocked by what's going on and fundamentally challenged by the whole impact of the pandemic. What are your thoughts, can I ask you, Rory, on starting an enterprise like this in a time of change and uncertainty?
Yeah, I think you'd want to be mad. look, there's always the old cliche that when everyone else is scared, you should be brave. But to some extent as well, look, there's never been a time where people are more open to the idea of good fast food. And I know we just spent the whole conversation about it being slow food, but fast food doesn't take away. There's never been a time where people have been more open to seeing takeaway food as being really, really good quality food. Some of the best chefs in Ireland are now doing takeaway. I actually think a year ago it would have been a little bit hard for us to open what's essentially a container selling meat in a takeaway carton and to convince people that it was really, really good food. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think now in the current environment it's actually quite easy. People are getting Michelin-starred food in plastic containers to eat at home. So, it's a hard time to open anything, but it's also a time where there's a reduction in the VAT rate. There's some grants available.
Yeah.
People are their habits have been blown out of the water. People don't have eating habits at the moment. They're open to anything. So to open something new and different and unusual at this point in time, probably not the worst time.
So tell me about it. What's the pitch, Rory?
So the pitch is that we are going to buy a shipping container, possibly two shipping containers, one for the actual barbecues and all the smoke and wood, and one for the slightly cleaner aspect of the business, which is serving the meat. We are going to serve takeaway only. They're going to be big, beautiful pieces of meat, our own sauces. The whole business is going to be a showcase for our sauce business. So a lot of it is about giving a kind of a grounding to our sauce business to have somewhere to focus social media and to test recipes and to throw out ideas. And essentially, we have this quirky idea of a traffic light system. We're going to put a big traffic light on top of the container, and we're going to integrate that with Twitter and Facebook and so on. And what we're going to do is the traffic light, we're borrowing this slightly from the UK as opposed to Ireland, it's going to go green and red just before it goes green. So green and red means the meat is about an hour away from being served. So get in your car, start driving towards us, get excited. Then, of course, when it goes green, we're actually serving meat. We're open for business, come and buy. When it goes yellow, we're beginning to run out of meat. When it's red, we're closed. Good luck. Bye. So there is, with my software background, there is a technology aspect to it. We want this traffic light system to change the color of our Facebook page and update Twitter and beep on your phone to stay open and stuff like that. But I think mostly it's just about people coming up to a container hatch and knowing that they're getting the best quality Irish meat cooked the best possible way. And it's just an experience they can enjoy and really relish and just know they're getting something different. And I don't expect people to eat a kilogram of brisket 5 days a week. It fits into a whole it fits into a whole environment of different types of food that are in Ireland at the moment. Mm. And it's another option for people to travel to explore, to enjoy, to talk about, to put on Instagram, so on and so forth.
Excellent. Well, it's an experience, certainly. Now, you're running an Indiegogo campaign. Did you try the banks?
Yes. The Indiegogo. So we need, this is going to cost about 30,000.
Yeah.
20 of it will come from the banks and from our own funds.
Okay, great.
And then the other 10 is an Indiegogo campaign. It's an Indiegogo campaign with a bit of a twist, though, in that we're not actually really begging for money. If you look at it carefully, the perks are actually really good. So, for example, we have a 50 euro voucher for 49 euro, which you can either spend on food, or in the unlikely event this doesn't go ahead, you can spend it on our existing website on sauces and rubs. We have T-shirts and socks, and we have barbecue lessons, for example, which are really good value. So we're actually asking people to just spend money in advance as opposed to give us money for free.
Excellent.
And I think the reason we did that is the PR aspect.
Yeah.
That's why I'm on your show. But it's also asking people to invest. Like we're saying to people, this is yours as well. This is an idea that you contributed to and that you helped to grow. The banks will play a part of it and will play the biggest part. The Indiegogo is kind of more about just involving people and a bit of creativity.
It sounds very interesting, Rory, and we wish you the best of luck. It's a brave move, I think a lot of people would agree, but I think you're right in that a lot of your customers and fans will like to have an opportunity to be asked to play a part in bringing something new, a new culinary and a new, I suppose, hospitality experience in Ireland. And as you describe it, it's certainly an innovation without a doubt. Rory, where can people find out more?
Go to our, the best place, I just love Facebook. I know it's getting a little bit old-fashioned at this stage. We're all over everything. We're all over every social media. But search for Great Northern Larder on Facebook or go to gnl.ie, our website. And I won't give you the big long URL for Indiegogo, but you'll find links to it on all our social media. Stick us in Google.
Here at BlackNet, we love a good domain name, and that's certainly a nice one. Rory, we wish you every success with it, and thanks for talking to us on the show today.
Thank you very much, Con. Thank you.
That's Rory Brown from Great Northern Larder, our guest this week on the Lock-In Podcast. You can subscribe, you can watch, you can listen. All the details for the show are at thelockin.ie. Until next week, slán go fóill.